Chris is going to come and read for us now from 2 Samuel chapter 9, and it's on page 312 if you've got a Bible on the way in.
David and Mephibosheth. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Ammiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth?" "At your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops, so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. Thank you, God.
Most of us will be able to think of occasions when someone has shown us kindness. Kindness that we didn't seek. Perhaps kindness that we perhaps didn't expect, but that was just given to you, offered to you. I occasionally look on Duloc Billboard on Facebook. I'm not sure it's something to be recommended, but I do it. And occasionally there are posts that describe such a thing. So a mom will write in a post, and she will write on Duloc Billboard saying, "My son was in Tesco buying his lunch. He'd forgotten his bank card or his cash, but somebody paid for him. And I just want to say thank you to that person for their kindness." Or someone might write in saying, I fell in the car park and I didn't get your name, but somebody helped me back on my feet. Thank you for your kindness." Signs of kindness, signs of grace. And in our passage this morning, we have an act of kindness. An act of grace. David, who we've been thinking about over these past few weeks, David is king. He's king of Israel, and he has been king now for a wee while. He's settling into his role. And as he does so, he wants to do things right. And he reflects, it seems, on a promise that he had made to Jonathan,
way back in 1 Samuel chapter 20. Now, Jonathan, for those who are catching up here, Jonathan was the son of King Saul. Remember Jonathan? And Jonathan was a very good friend of David's. And in chapter 20 of 1 Samuel, they had a conversation, the two of them. And in the conversation, Jonathan said to David, "Promise to me, make a covenant with me, that you, when you come to your throne, that you will show kindness to me and to my family. Make a promise that you will show kindness to me and to my family. A promise made probably around about 15 to 20 years previously, but now David is on the throne. And it seems that he remembers this promise, and he's been reflecting on it. Now, it would have been easy for him to kind of overlook this promise that he had made in the past. It's a long time ago. And Jonathan's no longer alive. Jonathan was killed along with his father Saul. But more than that, the expectation of the day would have been that he would do quite the opposite. Here he is, he's become king. Saul is dead. Surely, people would have said, you are now king. Because Saul is dead, the thing to do to make your place secure and your position secure, you need to get rid of everybody associated with the previous king. You don't want any of his family around, because if any of his family are around, then they might challenge you as king. And so the political advisors, I suspect, would have been saying to David, find anyone from King Saul's family, get rid of them. They're a danger to you. But David had made a promise. And so he asks the question right at the beginning of the chapter. He says, Is there anyone in Saul's household, in Saul's family, that I can show kindness to? And he calls for the servant of the house of Saul, a guy called Ziba, who had lots of sons, 15, was it? And he brings Ziba into his throne room, as it were, and I suspect Ziba's knees were knocking a little bit because he was associated with King Saul, the previous regime. But David says to Ziba, you're a servant of the house of Saul, you're related to all that stuff, to all these people. Who is there? Who's there left that I can show kindness to? And he's told of this man called Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. Now, his name, apart from being difficult to pronounce and a bit of a preacher's nightmare, his name tells you a little bit about him, actually, possibly. Because it points to the idea of shame. So his name, no one's quite sure what it means. So it could mean one who scatters shame, or from the mouth of shame. No one's quite sure, but what people are sure of is that associated with his name even was this idea of shame. we're also told that he lived in a place called Lo-debar, which means nothing or no word. It's a place that is almost so insignificant that it has no name. Where do you come from? I come from no name. He was a person from nowhere. As the Beatles would sing, he's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land. And on top of that, he is lame. Crippled in both feet, we're told. This had happened, and you can read about this in a couple of chapters beforehand, this had happened when he was 5 years old. And he was being cared for by his nurse, and when they heard that his father Jonathan had been killed and his grandfather Saul had been killed, they fled. And as they were fleeing, the nurse dropped him. And he lost the use of his feet. And that would have been more debilitating then than even it is today. It meant that he was no use in the army, but also he couldn't work the land, which what normally most people would do in these days if they weren't in the army. And it meant, obviously, he struggled to get around anywhere. And so you get the idea that this guy, he's not in a particularly good place. His name is associated with shame. He's living in nowhere, and he's crippled. And later on, he even describes himself as a dead dog. I'm a dead dog. And it's this guy that is brought to David. And David shocks him with his kindness. What does David do? First of all, he says to him, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." David knew that he would have been fearful because political advisors have been saying, "Get rid of this guy, get rid of this guy." David says, "Don't be afraid. I'm not going to harm you." But then he goes on and he says, "See all this land that belonged to your grandfather, to King Saul, that's been taken away from you. It's all yours. It's all yours." And then he says to Ziba, "You're going to look after the land for him. You're going to, so that it produces crops, so it can produce money for this guy." And you're thinking, well, that's generous. That's more than he needed to do. He could have been kind in a smaller way. He could have given him some of the land. He could have helped him just to get by with his life. But no, David says, all of the land. More than he needs. And you can think of Mephibosheth thinking to himself, "Well, I can't believe what's happening. I'm in nowhere. I'm like a dead dog, and yet here's this guy, and he's given me all this." But then David goes even further. And he says to him, You shall eat at my table always. You shall eat at my table always." This is the king speaking. What? You're going to You're going to have this guy at your breakfast table? Your lunch table? Your dinner table? Every day? That's almost as if this, you're treating this guy as family. And that was the point.
Mephibosheth, we're told, ate at the king's table like one of the king's sons. There was always a place set for him, for he was now family, being treated as family. There was acceptance, there was welcome, there was security, part of the family. And Mephibosheth, he was astounded. He thought he was lost. He was lost. His inheritance was gone. He was a nowhere man. He was crippled. He was a dead dog. And yet he had received grace. He'd received a welcome. He'd received kindness, loving kindness. This loving kindness that David shows towards him is, in the Old Testament, what they call a kind of covenantal kindness. And it's what is known in the Old Testament as hesed. And it's a word that is used for the kindness of God. It's used to describe God's loving kindness, his steadfast love to his people. It's a word that comes up again and again. God has hesed for you, has hesed love for you, loving kindness, covenantal kindness and love. And that is what David is now showing towards Mephibosheth. And in this story, in this account, we have an illustration of the loving kindness that God shows us through Jesus Christ. For at the heart of the Christian faith, the heart of the Christian faith isn't about doing good and in some way earning God's love, earning our place in heaven and earning eternal life. No, at the heart of the Christian faith is the loving kindness of God to us, his grace to us and towards us, his hesed love and kindness. And he reaches out to us with that hesed, with that loving kindness through Jesus Christ. And he comes to us with our shame, with our guilt, with the stuff that we carry each day. He comes to us when we feel that we're going nowhere. And he comes to us with our frailty, with our loneliness, with our brokenness, with our dead doggedness, if that is such a word. And he comes to us where we're at, just like Mephibosheth, and he says to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What were the words that Jesus said to his disciples when he'd risen from the dead and he met them in the upper room? What? Don't be afraid. And he wants to give us security. He wants to be generous to us, to help us in our brokenness and in our shame. And just as David says to Mephibosheth, come, eat at my table, God, with his loving kindness, says to us, come, eat at my table. Be part of my family. Be my son, be my daughter. Eat with me
You're part of the family. Like the prodigal son, we might say, well, I don't think I deserve that. Because there's this and there's this and there's that, and you're the God who is immortal, invisible, the God only wise, and I'm like a dead dog. I don't deserve to be a child of yours. I'll just be a servant. I'll just be a servant, like the prodigal son said. I'll just be a servant. That'll be good enough for me. I'll be fortunate enough to get that. And he says to us, no, I don't want you just as a servant. I want you to be my daughter. I want you to be my son. I want you to be family. You can eat at my table. Through Jesus Christ, there is a place for you at the King's table. Not because you have earned it, not because you've deserved it, but because of his grace, his covenant loving kindness, his hesed. And all we need to do, all that we can do, is receive it. So, yeah, I'm going to serve you. That's what Mephibosheth did, didn't he? He didn't do anything to earn what David gave him. He just received it and lived with David. By grace we are redeemed. By grace we are restored. By grace we are called daughters and sons of God. By grace we're welcomed to the King's table. And that grace changes everything. Let's pray together.